Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNPlus.com. Every Monday, new episode posted at WGNPlus.com. And don't forget the landing page, where you will find previously the 107 episodes, because this is episode 108. And last time we did not have Emily on with us, and so I thought we've got an interesting topic here that would be more than enough to carry us through. So I thought I'd have Emily come on right away. So Emily Arminetti on the Pop Culture Club. Hello. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Well, what a week.
Yeah.
I mean, what's interesting about this whole Pop Culture Club kind of concept and segment that we've been doing, and I've been doing here for a couple of years in the podcast, and you've been doing for over a year, is it's so funny how, you know, it used to be like, oh, we'll talk about movies and television and things like that, and suddenly pop culture is culture. Pop culture is the news. More times than not, the pop culture news is the news of the day, and the line is blurring, and that certainly took place over the last week. Thankfully, to be honest with you, I felt a little disjointed because we weren't able to talk about the big Roseanne news, which we could have done on the on last week's podcast, because it happened a day before we actually record. But I was, as time went on and as the last week has gone on, I'm actually glad that it did, that we didn't talk about it, because the not only has the Roseanne story developed, but then another side story has developed, and it's really become a huge deal here as we look at not only TV shows getting canceled, but people self-inflicting wounds on Twitter and people saying things on their TV shows. What the hell is going on?
I don't know, but you're right. If we had talked about this last week, I mean, that this Roseanne thing happened the day before we normally record.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, like, you had to know that was not just going to be, right, you know, a 24-hour news cycle, because, of course, it turns into a whole big saga. So,
but so much has happened.
She had some things to say. Yeah, everyone's jumping in with there. Then, of course, the whole cast is kind of having to comment on, you know, how they feel about the whole thing. And there's other things going on, as you mentioned, as well.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, the funny thing is that I initially, you know, I remember being shocked when I read it early last Tuesday. When this story first broke, that Roseanne, all I read was Roseanne is canceled. I didn't even see the flurry of the initial text and the backlash. I don't go on Twitter, so that I wasn't.
No, you don't tweet.
I don't tweet. I don't twit. I don't. I won't say the other word.
you don't want to get yourself in trouble.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Especially not in a Me Too
podcast canceled, right?
Not in a Me Too environment here. But I just saw the news early that morning that Roseanne's show is canceled. I read the story, and as you said, it really started to percolate practically the minute that that she posted this thing. And here's my question, as a non Twitter user, to someone who I assume, like you, that does use Twitter, I don't know how much, or that if you go on there and scan it every day, or how often you go on, but are there that many people following Roseanne Barr that as soon as she tweeted this thing, it became such a viral sensation? Is it people just by chance, do you think, going on Roseanne Barr's Twitter account? How do you think this thing started to move so quickly. I wouldn't think that Roseanne Barr is one of the most popular Twitter accounts.
Well, okay. So, yeah, I do have a Twitter account. I don't use it that much. I had to set one up for work a handful of years ago, and tweeting is not really my thing. I find it hard to follow information that way. I actually find Facebook and Instagram easier to follow. That said, you know, anytime someone tweets something, it's all over the news. You know, anyone who's like in any way known or notable. So I don't even feel like I have to really be on Twitter to kind of follow the main things that are going on. That said, it's all about the hashtag, Jim. So,
hashtag. Like, what the hell is going on?
So, So the hashtag really started on Twitter. And, like, basically, this is my, I mean, I'm just speculating here because I like you, it is kind of interesting that these things can so quickly get picked up and escalated. Now, Roseanne does have, I have my computer in front of me. I'm looking at her Twitter account right now. She has 881,000.
Oh, okay. Wow. I mean,
so she's got a decent amount.
Yeah.
There are people, though, who have a lot more. I mean, Kim Kardashian.
Oh, certainly. Okay, but at least she has. I didn't even think she would have that many, to be honest with you. I mean, I knew that she, obviously she's a celebrity, but I mean, I have to go on record here because I know that you and others accuse me of being anti-technology, which of course is ironic because I worked for 10 years in the technology sector. So I am certainly not anti-technology. But just for the record, I have a Twitter account. And in fact, it was established. And it was established in 2009.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was
I haven't even had mine that long.
Right. I am an early adapter. Not an adopter.
Adapter?
Yeah, an adapter. That's the way I use it.
Oh, okay.
I was an early adapter, not an adopter.
So if anyone wants to tweet you, you are at Elton Jim. That's your name.
I think so. I mean, what happened was, like you were saying, when we started here at WGN on the radio, our producer at the time said, well, do you want to start a Twitter account? And I said, because, you know, Twitter was just beginning to take hold. And I said, okay, sure. And so to be honest with you, I don't even know what my password is if I wanted to write a tweet. Because someone...
I mean, it's got to be Elton John.
I don't know.
Or
someone...
Captain Fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's like a Levon?
Yeah. Well, someone... I think she... Did she leave? Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay, very good.
Yeah, that was weird, but did you accidentally hit the mute switch or something?
I'm not even hitting any buttons today, so this one can't be blamed on me. I don't know. There was just the viral gods were playing games. But but as I was saying, I don't even know what my if I wanted to write a tweet, I couldn't even get on. I do not know what my password is. But
you hear me say, I will work on this because I'm sure I can somehow crack it.
But here's the thing. What I initially would have talked about was that Roseanne, you know, was another one of these self-inflicted Twitter people who did this to themselves. And several podcasts ago, I was talking about Laura Ingraham from the Fox Network, who, for no reason, you know, tweeted about one of the Parkland survivors and how he didn't get into college, and she created a firestorm for herself. And it seems to me that Roseanne Barr, out of the box here, created this firestorm really for no reason. Valerie Jarrett, a former Obama advisor, is not in the news anymore. She's not a mover and shaker in the in the presidential politics anymore. I don't know. You know, and she blamed Ambien for this, which is another, you know, story all to itself.
Oh, well, they had a funny and interesting tweet back about that.
Yes, in fact, Ambien, we both worked in PR together, Emily and I, many years ago. Whoever wrote the Ambien response, I hope got a huge raise.
Yes,
and certainly should have got a promotion because that was worded well, it was funny, and it was biting, and if you didn't hear it, when Roseanne blamed Ambien for her tweeting at 2 in the morning about Valerie Jarrett, which started this whole mess for her. Ambien, of course, was named, and so they quickly put out a statement, and the statement said that while, I'm paraphrasing, while there are many side effects to pharmaceutical drugs, racism is not one of them.
Right.
And that was a great way to say, sorry, Roseanne, don't throw this on us. But as I said, initially my view was, here we go, another celebrity for no reason using Twitter and self-inflicting a wound that didn't need to happen. And but now we find out that, I mean, there was so much else going on. And then, you know, not only does she make this tweet, not only does it was itself, you know, was it unnecessary? I don't know. Once again, Valerie Jarrett, not even on the radar screen anymore.
Yeah, although someone said that apparently this isn't the first time she's gone after Valerie Jarrett. So I'm not really sure what her
right, but who ca- but at this point, yeah, who cares?
But it does right, and it does seem very out of nowhere. I mean, Valerie Jarrett is living as a private citizen right now.
Right.
Why is she even going after her? Now, just to backtrack just a little bit, because we got disconnected. But to your question about Twitter, although Roseanne does have a decent amount of followers, you know, these things also escalate very quickly today. And it, you know, I joke that it's all about the hashtag, but it is kind of all about the hashtag, because all it takes is for one person to see an offensive tweet. And, you know, I think we can all agree Roseanne's tweet was incredibly offensive.
Right.
And to either retweet it or reply to it and say anything, you know, like say what they want about it. And all you need to do is, you know, hashtag racism, hashtag ABC. And you better believe
right.
that a bunch of people at ABC are going to sit up and take notice.
Yeah.
Because once you hashtag something, that now becomes part of a whole separate stream of things. So hashtag ABC in any tweet about anything yeah. is going to get the attention of the people at ABC.
Yeah, it was just
now suddenly they're involved in this stream.
Yeah, I mean,
now.
It was just an amazing. It was just amazing how quickly not only did the offensive tweet spread, but then you also have to say how quickly and decisive for a network, for a huge corporation, for a huge bureaucracy like ABC must be, with layers of management and shareholders and lawyers and boards of directors. I mean, you name it. ABC is as big as they get. And for that type of company, which is so top heavy and so layered, to have
right.
made a not only a decisive move to cancel the show, mm-hmm. but a controversial one on its face, considering how huge the Roseanne show was, the reboot was for ABC from almost the first minute that it aired. It was already renewed for a season, for a full season, after the first episode of the 7 or 8 episodes that they ran. So this was, you know, potentially
well,
already.
And not to mention that ABC is owned by Disney. And so that's
right.
like another layer of bureaucracy, I'm sure, that you have to go through. But it has to be said that, I mean, as you said, the decision was made quickly. I'm sure and I hope that it was the leadership at ABC who made the decision. It's certainly the right thing to do. But then Bob Iger, who's the CEO of Disney, I personally called Valerie Jarrett before they
yeah.
announced it to apologize to her and to let her know. And, you know, I mean, I think it is, I'm sure it was very hard for the network brass to do this because, I mean, let's face it, sometimes these guys all make decisions when, you know, they are based on dollar signs. But at the bottom line is that, you know, it doesn't really matter what the ratings were and how much money Roseanne is making, you know, they can't continue with her.
No.
You just can't continue with her after something.
No,
like
and you
that.
And now, you know, of course, I thought of this right when it happened, and now it is actually getting steam, and we'll see as the story continues to progress. You know, initially you say, okay, there's no way, to your point, there's no way that Roseanne herself can continue. That's no, and this is no pun intended here. I'm just saying there's an 800-pound gorilla in the room, and she is it. The show is named after her. She is controversial. And let's not forget, and many people may forget, that back in 1990, when the show was at its peak, if you may recall, Roseanne was in another kind of firestorm, which was a whole different time. There was no Twitter. There was no internet. There was no, you know, this the entire, you know, blogosphere, Twitter sphere, whatever you want to call it. She sort of mocked the national anthem, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
She sang the national anthem before a baseball game. She sang it horribly. She grabbed her crotch and she spit like baseball players do. And she got a lot of flack for it. And she certainly took a lot of hits in the media, but the show was not canceled, and she was not fired. And what a difference, you know, 20-some years makes, where this, she was fired within minutes. And, you know, when you notice the swiftness, you see that, this is a completely different world. And everybody, not just celebrities, but certainly celebrities, because they have such an impact and such a visibility on the internet and on Twitter and things like that. But for anyone, as I said many times, read your tweets before you hit the button. And this, you know, was such a shame.
I also think, like you said, you know, so Roseanne, this is, you know, it's not the first time she's said or done something that's controversial or offensive. And it happens quite a bit. Especially in comedy, you know, I mean, comics, they do sometimes kind of stand right on this edge, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it happens to Joy Behar.
I mean, remember,
really trying to bounce back from the whole Trump thing. But, and also, like, you know, as you noted, there's other stuff going on. I mean, Samantha Bee, and we can get into all of that.
She
made a comment last week about Ivanka Trump in her monologue. But there's a difference between vulgarity and racism. And I think that's where you need to draw a line, you know, when it comes to things like artistic or comedic license, you know. And I think zero tolerance is the right policy to have when it comes to racism. And I think that's what ABC.
Yeah, but here's,
you know,
we can also talk about the Samantha Bee thing, because the irony of that is, so this firestorm happens with Roseanne. As I even said on my Facebook page, so here was something that was unnecessary. Don't forget, this Roseanne reboot fell into Roseanne's lap. It was actually spearheaded by Sarah Gilbert and John Goodman. It was a little takeoff that they did on The Talk, mm-hmm. which Sarah Gilbert is on, when they did a little kind of Roseanne-ish little skit. And after that, Sarah Gilbert says to John Goodman, hey, if we got this back together, would you be interested? And he said yes, and it snowballed from there, and it became all of a sudden this huge reboot and this huge audience favorite. So this fell into Roseanne's hands. It certainly helped employ not only a lot of people behind the scenes, like every show does, but certainly it helped a lot of the former castmates who, frankly, have not done anything since the Roseanne show was on. The actress who plays Becky, the actress who plays DJ. All of a sudden, hey, this is like winning the lottery again. So a lot of people were affected by this abhorrent tweet, but this very misguided and this off the top of the head type of thing. And you're right. Comedians a lot of times use Twitter. A lot of times comedy is not easy to translate via the written word. Sarcasm does not always translate well. Irony and satire do not always translate well in the written word based on how a certain person reads it. If you remember several years ago, Gilbert Gottfried lost his great little gig about being the Aflac duck because he made a little comment about the tsunami. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't even remember that. Oh, I was, that must have been years ago. I bet I was probably living in London when that happened.
Yeah, he made a joke about the tsunami and, you know, in China or Japan or something, and was fired from being the quack quack, you know, duck on that. You know, a stupid top of the head joke. didn't think it would amount to anything, and within 2 days he was fired. So comedians especially have used Twitter to their advantage, but it also can be a disadvantage. Now, so in the midst of all this controversy about making comments that are controversial, that could lead to losing your job, and look what happened to Kathy Griffin a year or so ago with the picture of Donald Trump's head, immediately banned from things, and her career has been on a skid since then. She was fired from her New Year's Eve gig with Anderson Cooper on CNN. So then,
actually, she is very good friends with Anderson Cooper, and she used to be very good friends with, I don't know if she still is with Anderson Cooper, but with Andy Cohen, who replaced her this past
year. Yeah. Oh, no, I've heard her.
Her celebrity friends, at least, suddenly started to very much distance themselves from her.
Right.
When that happened. So not only did her, you know, her career kind of imploded, but then it was like, you know, they just didn't want to have anything to do with
her. So here's Samantha Bee. Very popular former correspondent on The Daily Show. She's got her own show, Full Frontal, on TBS. And she certainly makes waves. She's certainly political. She even holds her own kind of anti-correspondence dinner, makes waves on that, has become very popular, especially amongst the Trump haters. And so in the midst of all this firestorm against Roseanne, and you see the implications of that, she comes out, and you can debate racism versus vulgarity, but once again, to make this statement she did about Ivanka Trump by using the C word for a woman, which by a woman, about a woman, is very, you know, you would never expect that. And then she, all of a sudden, the walls start crashing in. Now, she wasn't fired. She apologized. We'll see what the end game is on that. Once again, I don't know. And now, you know, the knock on her is that while Roseanne did this, top of the head at 2 a.m, Samantha Bee, taped that comment. It was viewed, and it could easily have been edited out before broadcast, and TBS and management, as well as Samantha Bee and her producers, as well as herself, decided that they were going with that and actually put it on their website to promote it. So they were not shying away from her using the C word about Ivanka Trump, and then were somewhat, it seemed to be, surprised by the reaction. And there was, of course, then complaints by Trump supporters that there was a double standard because Roseanne's a Trump supporter. She was immediately fired, and Samantha Bee was just reprimanded and apologized and wasn't fired. But now here's my question to you, since you brought this up. So you don't think that Samantha Bee's comment was as controversial or as abhorrent as Roseanne's?
No, I don't.
Wow, I'll tell you, I'm shocked by that because let's put it this way: what would happen if Hillary Clinton was president and someone said that about Chelsea? What do you think would happen? What would have happened if?
I mean, that's a good question.
What would have happened if someone would have said that about one of Barack Obama's daughters? Do you honestly believe that there would not have been a firestorm on that?
Terrible. I'm not saying it's not a terrible thing to say.
Is bad? What I don't understand is why are you making a differentiation between bad taste? Bad taste is bad taste.
Okay. Well, no, but bad taste is not racism. I mean, and I do think they're different. I do.
So don't you think whether you like Ivanka Trump or not, and I'm not a Trump supporter, I'm just trying to be objective here. She's a member of the, I know she's a member of, she's an advisor, but she's also a member of the First Family. And she's also the daughter of the president. And there needs to be some kind of respect, whether you like Trump or not. Respect for the office.
Yeah, you say that, but you are forgetting how many horrible things people said about Chelsea Clinton when Bill Clinton was in office. And actually, that was different, too, I believe, because Ivanka Trump, first of all, is an adult.
They didn't call her the C word. They didn't call her the C word. I mean, this is not just saying that Chelsea is ugly. This was a vulgar comment.
I understand that. But there are some differences. I believe the nuances, they make a difference in my mind, in my opinion. So, you know, Ivanka Trump is an adult. She is part of the administration. So, actually, she's sort of fair game for let's say, comics who are...
To be called
kind of
that word?
I know the word is terrible. I'm not a fan of the word. It's a terrible word.
Wow.
I get it. I wouldn't use it.
I don't know. I just think that you're really parsing things here.
People, well, I am, but I think it makes a difference. So I think that there's that aspect of it. Whereas, you know, Chelsea Clinton, she was a child when her father was in the White House.
I understand that, but there's a difference between
not as terrible as this. Yes, and I agree with you there. This is much worse than anything that was said about Chelsea Clinton at the time. But the point is that, you know, what Samantha Bee, again, like, I think I do differentiate between vulgarity and racism, and I have zero tolerance for racism. Vulgarity, I think, can be.
But you don't. But you know. But
I think vulgarity can be forgiven. Racism cannot.
Okay, but wait. But here's a question.
Samantha,
but vulgarity
right away.
Vulgarity
right?
is one. This was not just vulgarity, though. There, you know, it's one thing to use a vulgar term. There's another thing to have hatred to underlie the vulgarity. She just did not call her a name simply to call her a name. She was calling her a name with a context of you are stupid or you are ignorant. There was meaning behind the vulgarity. This was not just saying you're a son of a bee or you're an MF-er. They're thrown out, just a casual kind of vulgarity. This was a directed attack. It was spoken to her. It said, Ivanka, you need to do this because you are a blanking thing, and tell your father. There was a point, and there was an opinion, and there was an attack behind the vulgarity. I agree with you about vulgarity if you're just going to use a swear word. But that was an attack that was compounded by not only a vulgarity, but the worst misogynist vulgarity you could use against a woman by a woman. Wow. I find it amazing that you can give her a pass. If a guy would have said that.
Wait, I didn't say it was just. I'm not just blindly giving her a pass, okay? I think it is bad, and if Samantha Bee did lose her job over it, I wouldn't go out and protest to help her get her job back. That said, I'm not totally surprised that Roseanne lost her job and Samantha Bee didn't. And I also think part of it has to do with the response. So Samantha Bee realized what she said was very offensive to a lot of people. She immediately apologized. Okay. And then TBS also issued their own apology. But Roseanne, in Roseanne's case, she tweeted, people got upset. She continued to tweet to justify like what she had said or to somehow defend it. Okay. Then when she realized, oh, wait, this is, like, really serious, and her show got canceled, then I think she kind of made, like, a half apology. Then her castmates started coming out and saying, you know what? What she said was abhorrent. It was terrible. It is against everything I stand for. And then she started tweeting at them, like, oh, wow, throw me under the bus. And, again, getting very defensive about it.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to support Roseanne here. I think she was completely wrong. I think it was terrible. I think it was ridiculous. It was a horrible thing to say. It was a stupid thing to say. As I said, it had ramifications. If you're going to shoot yourself in the foot, shoot yourself in the foot. But what she did was ruin several people's livelihoods. And you know, so I mean, I am not in any way condoning Roseanne. I'm just wondering why. You know, if we are going to be in a society now where there is very little judge and jury. I mean, look at the whole Me Too thing. Several people's careers, once again, I'm not complaining, but people were tried and sentenced before there's ever been any kind of, I mean, now we see that Harvey Weinstein has actually been charged, but there's been other celebrities who have got in trouble during, for sexual harassment allegations that as soon as their name came out, it was almost like, boom, there's a Scarlet A. And if that's going to happen, then at the very least, if we are going to be in a society now that being offended is a crime, at least in the public arena, then I think there has to be some kind of it's got to be fair on if you're going to be intolerant of you're going to be offended by something, then it has to be you're offended by everything, which is crazy, but that's where we're going. And so for Samantha Bee, not only was it a horrible thing to say, but right on the heels of the Roseanne thing, even if you wanted...
Well, and that definitely made it extra stupid, for sure, because, you know, you think after watching another comedian, you know, create such a firestorm, maybe people would be, you know, extra careful about some of the things they're saying and, you know, things that they joke about. But I still think there's a difference between...
So we disagree, and that's fine. And I see your point. I just think that the genie is out of the bottle, and I guess the word I'm looking for is consistency. We are now in an age here where if we are going to be so correct on everything, and we are going to be, and it doesn't take much. The things that surfaced here, certainly the Roseanne tweet and the Samantha Bee. There's no question whether these are offensive, but it seems that it doesn't take much to offend, given the access that the average person now has, and everybody brings their own context to this. Somebody is going to be offended by something all the time, and so I just wonder where we're going. How do we draw a line? If there's no consistency, then does it just depend on? Does it depend on if we like the person or if we don't like the person? Does it depend on whether this person is popular and they hit all the right boxes on our political views or they don't? I mean, look at this stuff that's been going on with Morgan Freeman. You know. Morgan Freeman, 81 years old. Everybody loves Morgan Freeman. I love Morgan Freeman. I like he's a great actor, but now all of a sudden he's had several allegations about him. But yeah. I haven't seen him get attacked like I've seen other people with similar allegations have been cast out. Now why not? Because we like Morgan Freeman? I don't know.
So how do we do this? Okay, so I mean, once again, though, so who are we comparing Morgan Freeman to? Are we comparing him to Harvey Weinstein, who definitely assaulted people, broke the law, you know? Or are we comparing him to, you know, I don't know. I mean, did any of these guys, who else? Like, I think what he did maybe probably falls under the bracket of sexual harassment in the workplace, which certainly people can and should get fired for.
Yeah,
I mean, and then many companies, but you know, we're not going to throw Morgan Freeman in jail for making some comments to women that made them feel uncomfortable. You know,
no,
and that's a huge difference between you know Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, who has also not.
Well, what about Mario Batali? Mario Batali, I don't know.
Mario Batali, he's another one. I mean, they're saying that he drugged and assaulted.
Okay, but did he? But we don't have what you just said is they're saying. A, who's they? B, where is the? You know, this guy now has been divested from Italy. He's been taken off all of his TV shows. I don't know if he did it or not. But what I'm just saying is that there have been quite a few people whose names have been, that allegations have been made against people, and whether they are proven or not, they get the Scarlet A, and some people don't. And I think if we're going to be offended, I have no problems with being offended. I have no problems with people saying, "Hey, this person did something wrong, and they did it to me." I have no problems with that. But then if we're not consistent, and if we're saying, "Well, you know, this is that, and that one's that," well, you know, I don't know. Then I have to look back and go, well, then where's the line here? Because we are not doing this in any kind of judicial way. I mean, that's what...
Well, okay. Well, and so what we're talking about is the court of public opinion. And when I'm saying, oh, they're saying this and they're saying that, it's really just based on what's being reported in the media right now. But like with Harvey Weinstein, you know, I recently read that... the New York City Police Department has launched an investigation into the Mario Batali thing. And so that's where, you know, when there's a criminal offense.
Right. Oh, believe me.
That's where it's going to get taken care of. You know,
well,
and like Harvey Weinstein, he's been hiding for, you know, for the last 6 or 7 months or whatever he's been doing. But now his day has come. You know, he appeared in court a couple days ago. He has been indicted on the charges, and so now this will go to trial.
What about what's the Robert what's the actor from Parks and Recreation and Azar? What's his name?
Oh, Aziz Ansari.
Aziz Ansari. I always get his name wrong. Okay,
you're not going to like what I have to say about this, but the Aziz Ansari thing, as far as anything I've read about it, had to do with one woman who went on.
I understand that. But that's my point.
When you read her description of it, you do say she never at any point says, he did this and it was against my will. Basically, they had a bad day.
Right. And that's my point. And I said this 5 months ago, that if we start doing this without any kind of substantiation and criminal thing, then what's going to happen is someone has a bad date. And they're going to throw the name out of a celebrity to say, I wanted, because that woman's story was ridiculous. I'm not defending her at all. That was definitely that. That was a bad date. And she wanted to date a star. That's what she was into. She had a boyfriend. She met this guy. They got together. She had plenty of opportunities to leave the room. She never did. They still engaged in sex. I mean, she just got mad that he used her for a one-night stand, and she wanted to be his girlfriend, or at least hang out with him and be the girlfriend of a while of a star. Clearly, that was her thing. But this is my point, is that that poor guy got his name trudged through the dirt for at least a week for no reason. And this is my point, is that we are giving immediate credence to some of these things, and now we're getting to a point where it's not only affecting one person, but like I said, in Roseanne's case, affects hundreds of people. And in the case of Samantha Bee, as I said before, whether you hate Trump or not, everything he does is wrong. I understand that. But he's still the president of the United States, and there still is some, there should be at least, some sense of respect for the office. We have had bad presidents before. This is not something new. We have had hated bad presidents before. But there was still some sort of civility and some sort of respect for the office. And that's my only point. And now, as I said, I don't know where it stopped. I mean, the funny thing is, this is not over. Because 2 months from now, this is going to come up again with somebody else saying something. I mean,
that's where we're going.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong.
Also,
you know, the president is not helping the situation with all his tweets. I get all of that.
Right.
But you know,
specifically in the case of Roseanne, because, you know, it's like the cast members are one thing, and probably they probably had their options picked up by the network, which means that they'll probably end up getting paid out for next, at least the season that got picked up.
So here's my question.
Year.
So here's my
but
question.
What about the crew
but,
and all of those people behind the scenes.
Well, here's my question,
now,
though. Do you think that, because that there's a rumor been floating around now that they may do a little detour? And of course, they can't do Roseanne, but you know there has been enough of a backstory on the show developed quite, you know, quite a lot in the few episodes that they did initially of Darlene's family and her kids and her plight. And certainly maybe Roseanne goes away for whatever reason. Maybe she dies, you know. They've been actually showing, you know, the last episode showed her kind of addicted to painkillers. And, you know, so who knows? They could easily write her out and something like that could happen. But my question is, do you think that that show could survive because of the fact that it was a spinoff of Roseanne? There's all this. Can you watch the Connors or the Darlene show without thinking of Roseanne?
I mean, of course you're going to think of Roseanne, but I think that, Roseanne is the person who created the situation. I do think it's a real shame for the entire cast and crew to be punished and lose jobs over it. Not be punished, but, you know, they're losing their jobs as a result of this. And that feels unfair because they have more or less all come out and said, like, this is totally, we do not support her. This is the right thing to do. We're devastated, but, you know, this is against everything that we stand for, you know, the things that she is tweeting. So that's one thing. Do I think they could survive? I certainly think they could survive at least the one season that they were already picked up for.
Yeah.
I think that, first of all, I think John Goodman.
Hey, Roseanne.
And
I mean, that's the other part. That's the other part of the thing. So here I do. Right. I finally get an invitation that people could like. Hey, Roseanne. And then it gets blown out of the water.
You finally develop a respectable.
I finally have one that everybody, hey, Roseanne. And then within 2 seconds, so I feel.
Not
only did she ruin DJ and Becky, but she ruined me.
Right.
Because I had my John Goodman. Hey, Roseanne.
Well, so I think certainly
John Goodman, a victim.
Lori Metcalf are strong enough actors, I think, to keep audiences watching. I also think that Sarah Gilbert, who plays the daughter, Darlene, on the show, as you said, her storyline was kind of the central storyline in a way because they're revisiting these characters many years later because Darlene and her children have moved back to Lanford and they're trying to kind of start their lives again after she's separated from her husband. And so that actually right there, I think already makes it easy from a plot perspective for them to do it. But also, you know, Darlene was always one of the strongest characters on the show, even back when it originally aired. So for all of those reasons, I actually do think that they could make a show about the rest of the family work, at least for a season or maybe two seasons.
I mean, it will be interesting. The one thing that I find interesting too in this, I don't know if you noticed, but before the whole Roseanne tweet thing happened, about a week and a half or 2 weeks before, Whitney Cummings, who was one of the chief writers and one of the executive producers of the Roseanne reboot, she left the show and she gave a very kind of nebulous explanation. Oh, I'm sorry to leave. It was a great experience. I'm busy. It's like, what are you busy with? How could you not want to be a part of this, one of the most popular shows in the last 10 years in terms of ratings, this sensation? So I'm wondering, there's now all these little behind-the-scenes stories that, and Wanda Sykes, who was also a part of the production and the writing crew, she quit as soon as she heard the tweet. So I'm wondering if there was something that Roseanne, we know she's a live wire. I'm wondering if there was something going on behind the scenes already that people were beginning to feel uncomfortable. Because if you remember when the upfronts came and they were talking about the new season, ABC even made an announcement that the show was going to be less political next season. It was going to be more about the family and their struggles and less about the politics and Trump and things like that. So I'm wondering if there were already a few little bubbles starting to pop up where people behind the scenes were feeling uncomfortable. And You know, knowing Roseanne.
Well, you know that Tom Arnold, who is her ex-husband, who also worked on the original Roseanne show, he appeared in, you know, a bunch of episodes. He's been interviewed since this whole thing, and he said, oh, it was just a matter of time with her.
Yeah.
This was always going to happen. And, I mean, who knows her better than someone that she, you know, spent years married to.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing about it is, too, is I think it's all going to depend, too, on contractually how this all works, because, you know, Roseanne created those characters. I mean, she created the show,
yeah,
but
right.
She also created those characters. So now is she feeling apologetic enough to walk away from that? Maybe. She tweeted something kind of cryptic the other day saying she was making amends for what she had done, and I think she has acknowledged in the last week or so that a lot of people have been affected by her stupidity, and she feels regretful.
And I think if they do a new show, they will need to get her approval to some extent.
Maybe, but to use
those characters.
And I think the most important thing, at least to audience members and probably advertisers, is they need to somehow be able to do it in a way so that there is no financial gain for her. Because then what's the point of firing her?
Right.
If she's going to continue to, you know, make money off this somehow, I think that's going to turn audiences off to any kind of a new or different iteration of the show. So,
yeah. Well, like I said, the only thing that I would have to say, we'll see what's going to happen. I think that for whatever reason, Samantha Bee has weathered the storm. But I also think, you know, you're going to see a lot more. What's been disappointing me about a lot of the comedy, and especially people like that, I think Trump is such an easy comedy target. And what we're seeing over the last year or so, Donald Trump literally saved Stephen Colbert's job. He was most likely going to be replaced by James Corden. That seemed to be a foregone conclusion. And there were rumors were going on that Cord was going to move in. He's poppy with the car karaoke thing. He's not very controversial, and the show does have some buzz, especially on the internet. And that almost seemed like it was a foregone conclusion. And then Colbert rediscovered his political side, which helped him with the Colbert Report, and all of a sudden. He became number one, and now we've seen Jimmy Kimmel get into the Trump bashing. Even Jimmy Fallon, who is so out of his element, trying to be political.
He's so nice. He's
well,
like,
that's
so
my
nice
point.
Guy.
But even really he like is feeling anyway. He's feeling the he's feeling the. The responsibility to become political because it's helped everybody's ratings. And then Samantha Bee has done well because she's bashed Trump. But it just seems like from a comedy standpoint, gosh, that's so easy, because the problem is that people are doing the same kind of shtick and the same kind of comments and the same jokes on all the cable news networks for 24 hours. So it almost seems like it's too easy. I'd love to see somebody come on and say, you know what? I'm not going to talk about politics because that's too easy. But it's also a big ratings grabber, too. So I guess, it's a catch-22. But it seems to me that's such an easy target. Trump has made himself an easy target.
I think, too, like you said, especially with Colbert and Samantha Bee, with their backgrounds and their history with The Daily Show, which always did have very strong political commentary and leanings, that I think that for them, it's really, I don't see them moving away from it so much, because that's kind of where they come from, but certainly you're right. I mean, with, Jimmy Fallon and James Corden, and Kimmel, I mean, those guys, they should have a much broader range of material to pull from, because that they've not always been so hyper focused on politics.
Yeah, I would just say in conclusion here, stop tweeting. Stop tweeting. I don't tweet. I don't get in trouble.
No, but see, now that we know that you have an account, I need to make it my mission to get you to start tweeting. We
I don't know. I don't know if it's Elton Jim, like with quotes. I don't remember. I mean, like I said, it was almost 11, you know, it was in 2009. I don't even remember anymore. It was almost 10 years ago.
The reset password option.
Oh, can you do that? I didn't even. I don't even know how to get on.
You can do that.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. But no, after this, I mean, I guess my question is: we'll see what happens with Roseanne. We'll see what happens with Samantha Bee. But I think the biggest we'll see is we'll see who happens next. And here's the irony: think about 20 years ago. Would Roseanne Barr and Bill Cosby have expected to be in the situations they are today?
Right.
I mean, think about both of them. They were at the top of their games. They were beloved by TV viewers. They had a great reputation. They both went out on high notes, greatly respected. Roseanne's always been a little edgy, but still, you know, the Roseanne show was always very well respected. And look at 25 or 20 years later, Bill Cosby and Roseanne, perhaps two of the biggest TV stars in history, find themselves in really precarious positions. So it just goes to show you that the internet is not discriminating. Is not discriminating. It will take down the lowest of the low or the highest of the high. It is not discriminating. But I actually really enjoyed our conversation here, and I'm glad that we disagreed on this, and I enjoyed listening to your opinion, and hopefully, you know, you enjoyed listening to mine, because I enjoy...
Always?
I always enjoy the give and take, and as I said, I am not condoning anything, but I just wish there was some consistency here, because... we are clearly moving into becoming more of a crass and more of a brash kind of society, more hard-edged. The more that we have access, the more that we are now breeding new generations of people who expect to be heard and want to be heard and feel that they have every right to be heard. And you know, 25 years ago, 10 years ago, we didn't have the access to do that as we do today. And as I said, now we have a new generation that expects that. That is a given right. And yeah. And so, you know, we're going to see without a filter on people where we're going as a society. And I'm it's going to be very interesting to see where we go because, as I said before many times, the genie's out of the bottle and... We're moving toward a new kind of reality and a new kind of what we accept as okay or not. And so I don't know, but, I will see, we'll see if Roseanne, the Connors, Darlene, what happens I would not be surprised if they bring it back just as you said, maybe for a season. From the financial standpoint, and there's no doubt that whatever happens, the first episode of the Connors show or the Connors family or the Darlene show would get amazing ratings. After that, I don't know. But anyway, thank you once again, Emily Arminetti, for joining us here in the Pop Culture Club. Always fun to chat and always fun to argue. I really enjoyed that.
Yes.
So very good.
We should do it more often.
Very good. Take care.
Thank you for having me. It was really nice to be on for the whole hour. So
yes. Very good. Take care. And so that is episode 108 of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. Hope you had a good time. I certainly did. Thanks for listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.